Welcome to our podcast from Lifehouse Church Chesterfield. We're so glad that you found us, and we hope that this message inspires you, encourages you, and gives you hope for the future. This is a message from Pastor Sarah Hollingworth. If you'd like more details about Lifehouse Church, please visit www.lifehousechurch.co.uk. Thank you for listening.
Listen, I had the most wild night last night. It was crazy. I didn't get to sleep till about 3 a.m. because the wind was like battering everywhere. There's wheelie bins in the middle of the road. My goodness me, I could not believe it. But I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that you made it to church. So well done. Well done for making it to church this morning. I think you should give yourselves a bit of a round of applause. So good. Listen, I want to just say this. Like, have you ever found a spot under a tree? Like, I used to love doing that. When me and Paul were dating, we used to, one of our favorite places to go was we used to love to go to Clumber Park. Has anybody ever been to Clumber Park? And like we used to drive there quite often most weeks, and we'd have like a little walk down by the river. But one of our favorite things to do was to find, you know, one of those trees that's like 1,000 years old, that like its branches stretch out for miles, and it causes this kind of like, almost like when you sit underneath it, it feels like you're in a little house. You feel safe under the tree. And the sunlight's coming through in, you know, like these windows, like little dappled bits of sunlight coming through, but it just feels safe and lovely under the tree, you know, protecting you from the sunlight or the rain or whatever it is. And I want us to join the Bible at a point where we find someone doing just that, somebody sitting under a tree. And it's in the book of 1 Samuel, and we find Saul, the king, is under a tree. But it's a different kind of day for him. He's not having a stroll with his other half, just enjoying the moment. Now, let me just give you a little bit of background before we read these chapters from the Bible. Saul was anointed the king. Now, he was the first king of Israel, but Israel was in a desperate state. You see, God was recognized as the king, but the people then stopped recognizing that, and they asked for their own king. And it grieved God, and he didn't really want to do it, but he did it because that's what they asked for, and he gave them king. And Samuel anointed Saul as the king. He was the first king of Israel. And we go through, prior to the story that we're going to look at, we go through a period where Saul rescues the city of Jabesh, and he takes instruction from Samuel, and Samuel tells him to go to his place and to wait for 7 days before they burn an offering and all these things. But what happens is, Saul's a human. Saul is a man just like you and me. And what happens is, he starts to get a little bit, you know, I can do this on my own. And he attacks a Philistine outpost. Who knows, that is not a good idea. That is not a good idea. Not when you're doing it like without God's instruction. And so what happens is, he gets a little bit arrogant and he starts to get the trumpet blown. They blow this trumpet to announce to all the people in all the cities that they have taken this city from the Philistines, this outpost. The Philistines get really, really annoyed, understandably, and it all kicks off. It all kicks off. And what happens is, Samuel, the prophet, returns and he's like, "What have you done? Why did you not just wait and do as I'd asked? And in doing that, you have completely God's plans and your chance at having God's favor over Israel." Bad times. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 1 Samuel 13 in just a moment. But it says in 1 Samuel 13, this is part of the story, it says that the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped in Michmash, east of Beth-Avon. That is not a good situation to be in. That's a lot. It's a lot of people. It's a big army. They've got all the resources that they need. It's not a good situation. You see, in 1 Samuel 14, which we'll get to in verse 15, it says that Saul counts his men, and he's got 600. Bad times. It started with 3,000, and by the end of it, the people had lost their confidence in him, and he ended up with just 600 men at most. But then it gets even worse. It gets even worse because then we read on after that, and it says that all Saul's men had no weapons. So they're going into battle, but they've got no weapons. The only people with weapons are King Saul and his son Jonathan. Honestly, like, it's just horrendous. So we're going to read from 1 Samuel 14, from 1 to 23. It's quite a big chunk, but I just want to read it to you. Is that okay? Everybody ready? It says, "Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass of Michmash. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, 'Come, let's go over the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah." Why do they have to have such awkward names? I know I say it every time. It makes me laugh. Where he was sitting under a pomegranate tree. With him were his 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod, brother of Ahitub, son of Phinehas. No, that's from Phinehas and Ferb. That's a program my kids used to watch when they were little. The son of Phinehas? I need help. The son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistines' outpost was a cliff, one called Bozez and the other Senna. One cliff stood to the north towards Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor-bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all you have in mind," his armor-bearer said. "Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then, we will cross over towards them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes where they were hiding." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor-bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Thanks be to God for his word. So Saul is on the outskirts of where the Philistines are. He's under a pomegranate tree. Now, I was like, I wonder if there's some significance with a pomegranate tree. And so I did a little Google search, and it turns out that a pomegranate tree is actually classed as like a spiritual tree. Now, a pomegranate has 613 seeds. Apparently, every single one has 613 seeds within it, contained within it. And that is the same number of commandments that are written in the Torah. So the Jewish people believe that it's a holy tree because the pomegranate has the same number of seeds as the same number of commandments. Fascinating. And it's also known as, it's like looked upon as like faithfulness and spirituality and all those things. Fruitfulness and righteousness are the things that it really symbolizes. And so we find Saul is in a desperate situation and he puts himself under a tree. You see, Saul positioned himself in the right things. Keeping God's commands and his righteousness were over him, but he chose just to sit there. He didn't move and he didn't take any steps. You see, we can't sit under God's goodness and never move. We can't just sit there and never take steps forward, never moving into all that God has got for us. You see, it's easy to sit under the tree, but Jonathan, nobody told Jonathan to go. But yet here we are. He saw a need and he knew what he needed to do. He had the courage to believe that God would be with him. You see, he'd seen God do great things before. He'd seen the way his father had been anointed to be king. He'd seen the power of God in his father's life. He'd seen God deliver them in battle before. You see, God's goodness breeds faith. God's goodness breeds faith, church. Jonathan trusted God, but Saul, he was just interested in counting how many men he had. He was relying on his own strength. He was relying on the strength of his men to carry out the battle. So he counted the men and he recognized that that was going to be a tricky ask. Just 600 men against that huge army that says that they were as numerous as the grains of sand. 600 men with no weapons. So he chose to sit under the tree. He chose to play it safe. You see, Jonathan knew that him and his armor bearer would be the majority with God on their side. Just two people and God on your side. Church, you are the majority. In the situations, in battles that you face, you are the majority because you've got God on your side. The thing I love about Jonathan is that he got up and he faced the mountains without any fuss. He didn't want the glory. He wasn't looking for affirmation. He didn't do it to be seen. He didn't gather a crowd and announce it on Facebook to get a response. We all know those people, don't we? You know, a little Facebook pops up. Oh, I'm doing this. And everyone's like, oh, amazing. Well done. You'll be amazing. He just got on with it. Wasn't about the glory for him. He just saw a need and he trusted God. He understood what his purpose was. He wasn't boastful about his decision. He wasn't doing it to get noticed or to receive glory. He did it because he knew there was a battle to be won. And he did it because it was what he knew. See, church, if you were doing something for the glory, if you were doing something to get noticed, if you're doing something to get a pat on the back, let me encourage you to stop. Just stop doing it for that. Stop looking for affirmation from people, from Facebook and Instagram. Stop looking for likes. We all do it. Everybody with social media does it. We all put pictures on because we know everyone's going to like. And then you go back and you check it like, oh, I've got 86 likes on this picture. This picture's had way more likes than that. It's funny that, isn't it? It's because it's a picture of my family. And you start going through all these things and you start looking for affirmation from people that you don't even know. It's crazy. See, Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. See, no one even knew he was gone. No one knew that Jonathan had gone. Nobody noticed. He could have sat and waited for his father's commands, could have sat and waited to hear his dad tell him what to do next. But he trusted God. He trusted that as he stepped into battle, God would be by his side. So he went. Church, when was the last time you just went? You see, Jonathan's decision came before God even made a way. So often we sit and wait. We wait for God's audible voice. We wait to get married because we can't afford it. We wait to have a baby because we can't afford it. Let me tell you, you can never afford to have a baby. You can't afford to have teenagers, that's the problem. We wait to apply for that job until we get, you know, like literally an audible voice from God. Just go sometimes. I think God sometimes thinks, just go. Why are you waiting for me? Just go. I'll be with you anyway. You see, we have to bring the ordinary so that God can bring the extraordinary. We have to do our bit so that God can turn up and do his bit. Until we move, until we step out into the battle, God's not going to do anything anyway because we don't need him to sit with us under the tree all the time. It's in the battle that we need him. It's in the battle that we find his glory and his strength and his peace and his confidence. He took the first step, but he allowed God to guide his steps, to see him through. He rose up boldly. I would not have wanted to have faced that. The thought of it, just me and one man against numerous, you know, like thousands of men, but yet he rose up. See, this young man stepped up and out when his father, the king, sat under a pomegranate tree, safe from harm. Church, let's not be the restrainer of the younger generation. I'm not talking about, you know, it being a young church. But if we're found sitting under a tree, don't be surprised when somebody else steps up. We can't be leaders or a congregation found under the tree when there's a battle to be won. You see, it's easy to sit under the tree. In fact, do you know what? I'm actually fed up of sitting under the tree sometimes. I'm fed up of sitting under the tree, waiting for God to move, waiting for God to do this and to do that and to see something happen. Church, I'm fed up of sitting under the tree. It's time to rise up. It's time to make some steps. It's time to step into all that God has for us. But it's up to us to take the step. God is not going to take the step for you. It's easy to sit under the tree. But you know, taking steps are never easy. I know that. See, taking the first step is actually the hardest. Now, I was always a person that could never run. I was like, oh, I can't run. I wouldn't even be able to run to end of the street. I'd be like, ugh. Literally, like, I would never have gone running. But one day, I was like, right, do you know what? I'm actually going to do this. So I put on all my gym things, and I was like, right, I'll start off small. I'll take a few steps. I'll just run to the end of the street and see how I get on. And so I stepped out of the front door. I stepped onto the street. And do you know what? I ran a mile. And then before I knew it, I'd built it up. I could run like 8 miles. I could run 8 miles. But you see, the problem is the battle starts in the mind. Because for me, I was like, I can't run. I can't do that. I can't, you know, I can't even make it to the end of the street. But you see, the more we step out, the more we exercise our faith, the further we can go. The better we get at it, the better our faith gets. The more we can trust in God and understand him and spend time with him, the better we get. You see, it does start in our mind. And I love that Jonathan didn't allow the doubts that would have no doubt been in his mind stop him from moving into what God wanted him to do. And you know what? Jonathan didn't have to just walk down a street to the Philistines. It says that there were mountains on either side. In 14 verse 4, it says, on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistines' outpost was a cliff, one called Bozez, which means slippy, and the other, Sene, which means thorny. One cliff stood to the north towards Michmash, the other to the south towards Gebe. This was no easy path. It's a thorny, slippy path, mountainous, and this Philistine's hiding in it. You've no idea where they are. He was surrounded. This is like the truest definition of being in a valley. You know, he's faced with standing in this valley, looking around him and surrounding him are mountains, thorny paths, slippy paths, danger, all those things. But it doesn't let him put him off. He still steps into what God is calling him to do. See, so many of us find ourselves in the valley, surrounded by slippy, thorny, frightening paths. And what do? We sit under the pomegranate tree because it's too difficult. It's easier to sit under the tree. It's time to get up. It's time to take some steps. It's time to move from the safety of the tree canopy and step into what God is calling us to do. You see, we can't just sit and watch. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." How many times have we heard that? Like most of us in here, I can guarantee would be able to like quote that without even looking in your Bible. You can quote it scripture and verse. But it's just head knowledge. It's just head knowledge if you don't trust in the word. Because we know that. We know that it says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. But yet we still sit under the tree. We know that he is with us because his word tells us, but yet we still sit under the tree. It's time to get up. It's time to make some steps, and it's time to get out of the valley because you have been there far too long. And I know it's hard. I understand that. Jonathan understood that. But he made a decision to go. You see, the odds will always be against us, and that is why it's called faith. We've got to have faith because things will always be against us. Some of you might be sitting there saying, yeah, it's all right, yeah, keep talking about your battle, but how the heck do I even step into the battle? The best way to start a battle is in worship. It is the best way to step into the battle. It's the best way to face the battle because our worship is a battle. You see, the enemy is constantly encouraging you to take your seat. Take your seat out of the heat. Take it easy under the tree. Telling you it's foolish to worship. Don't raise your hands in surrender to God. You'll look a complete idiot. You don't need to jump in presence of God. Don't enjoy yourself. Like, you don't need to do that. In fact, you've had a long week. You know, you're feeling a bit tired. It's good enough that you're here. Listen. We win the battle in worship. Let me tell you, today, you can win the battle in worship, in this very place. You see, whenever we worship privately or corporately, it's a battleground. And that's why, church, we will always encourage you to stand, to lift your hands, to get excited, to be exuberant in your worship, to lift your voice, to sing a new song. We'll never get tired of telling you to do that, of encouraging you to do that, because we know that that is where the battle is won. The battle of our mind. It's where you win, church. Your worship is where you win, right here. You see, the army is all around you, an army that supports you and loves you and is on your side. So this morning, you can win in worship. I love the heart of the armor bearer. I love that it actually amazes me that he just kind of, he says, yes, we'll go, just do all that you think we should do, and let's just do it. And often we read this passage of scripture, and I've heard so many people preach on, you know, this is like a leadership lesson about Jonathan and his armor bearer, that every Jonathan needs an armor bearer. And the biblical meaning of an armor bearer was somebody that would protect the warrior during the battle. And now in church talk, in church life, it's come to mean that it's somebody that protects the leader during the heat of spiritual conflict. But listen, what if we had a view that the church, that we are taking the battle to the world? Because if we have that view, then we are all armor bearers. We're all armor bearers. You see, the church is God's choice of vessel to take the good news to the world. Then we are taking the battle to the world, church. So we have to check our heart. Do we have a heart that sits and watches, or do we have a heart that is willing to step out and to do all that God is calling us to do? To be the armor bearer for God. To step out and to bring the battle to the world. And yes, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. But Jesus also tells us to go into all the world and exclaim the gospel in Mark 16:15. It's time to ask God, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do through us individually? And what do you want to do through us as a church? You see, the minute we stick our heads out of the parapet and we take our place in the battle, the Philistines will appear. See, that's what happened to Jonathan. They showed themselves, and straight away the Philistines appeared. It says, so both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up and we will teach you a lesson. We all have Philistines in our world taunting us constantly. The world is full of Philistines that are taunting us and stopping us from moving from under the tree. You know, I was just thinking about, my kids, really. Like, it would be so easy for them. As a youth group, we've developed youth over the last year, and we started so small. We just started in our house with just a few kids. And we've gradually over time, many of you will know this, but gradually over time we've moved back into the church building and the youth is growing. Most weeks we get around 30 people, which is amazing. But it would have been so easy for our kids to have just sat under the tree of mum and dad, you know, gone with our calling. But what I love about them is that they've stepped out. They've put their head above the parapet at school. That's a tricky place to be. Like, that is full of people taunting and causing issues and saying this and saying that. And by putting a photograph on, you know that it's going to cause a response that you're not really sure you want to deal with. But yet they've chosen to stick their heads above the parapet. Not just my kids, but other kids in this church. And what they're seeing is great fruit and God's faithfulness. And he's teaching them lessons that we would never have learned if they just stayed under the tree. It's time to move from under the tree. The taunts of the Philistines will cause you, they will cause us as a church to sit and watch. Sometimes we just want it easy, don't we? Let's be honest. We just want it to be easy. We want to live on the mountaintops. Who doesn't want to live on a mountaintop? But you've heard this 1,000 times. The fruit does not grow on the mountaintops. The fruit grows in the valley. The fruit grows where you stood and you're surrounded by mountains and thorny roads and slippy, you know, that's where the fruit grows. That's where God teaches us to trust him. It's where God teaches us his faithfulness and his goodness. You see, if everything was rosy all the time, we'd never need a miracle. We only need a miracle when it's difficult. So God, put me in difficult situations because I want to see more miracles in my life. I want to see you move. I want to see you take us to places that we never imagined. But to get there, it's going to be a tricky path. It says that Jonathan crawled with on his hands and knees to get to where he needed to be. Church, it's never going to be just easy, God's path. But I promise you this, that God is with you. Every step of the way, God is with you. And he will never leave you or forsake you. He is with you all the way. And when you do get to the mountaintop, what a glorious place it is to be. As we glorify God and tell him of his goodness and thank him for the way that he's brought us through, for the paths that we've been on and the way that he has guided us and guided our steps. You see, God made a way, but they still had to climb to where the Philistines were. God didn't send them to a different place around the Philistines. He guided them right to where the Philistines were. God took them into the battle. But I came to realize this, that as they crawled on their hands and knees, I was just thinking about the fact that, you know, when we get to our knees, it's the best place for us to be. In surrender to God, on our knees, just worshiping him, allowing him to move, allowing him to speak to us and to take us to the places in our hearts that we need to go. We've got to stop sitting and watching. It's too easy to sit under the tree. It's too easy to just sit under the tree and enjoy God's faithfulness and his righteousness and his fruitfulness. But God calls us to action. He calls us to move. He calls us to take some steps. And I know that across this place, there are people that, I just thought it was amazing when Talu got up and said what God was saying to him this morning. Because it's exactly what I'm preaching about. It's time to move. It's time to take some steps. Situations in your life, you know what they are because right now God's bringing them to you. Like you're thinking about them. God's saying, it's time to move. Stop procrastinating under the tree and take some steps. Take some steps into all that I've got for you and let me just show you how amazing it will be.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found this message helpful, insightful, and encouraging. For any more news about what's coming up at Lifehouse Church, you can obviously find that on our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk.